This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
But let's stick to 2025, where I suppose there are lots of things he could have done. He could have gone to the Vasa Museum or the Royal Palace. He could even have gone to see that amusement park called Grunelund. But he did what any good South African of our age group would do. He went to go and Mamma Mia and gimme, gimme, gimme his way all the way to the ABBA Museum. Good morning, Dion.
Brad, hey Brad, how you doing? How you doing?
Very good, man. I'm full of smiles here this morning. You did the best thing. I mean, there's lots of things you could do in Stockholm, but ABBA Museum, that's where you got to go.
Well, I must say, I did also visit the Palace,
oh,
and
good.
Also went to the museum and to the cathedral and to a few other things. But I must say, the highlight for Megan and Liam and I was the ABBA Museum. It was absolutely fantastic.
I was listening to a stand-up comedian a few weeks ago talking about his tour to parts of Europe, and he said he was in Stockholm, and he couldn't stop going on about the fact that there really isn't much to do there. But I'm glad you found plenty to do. And they're for work, I'm guessing. So that's what's most important.
Yeah. So, Brad, just to say, by the way, I'm in the airport at the moment. So I've tried to find as quiet a place as I can.
Thank
So
you.
Sorry if there to our listeners if there's a little bit of background noise. So I'm here this week to I was here to speak at the Ecumenical Week conference, which is organized by the Church of Sweden. And this is a very, very important anniversary. It's the 100th anniversary of the first major modern ecumenical meeting
Sure.
that was held in 1925 here in Stockholm. And it was arranged by the Archbishop of the Church of Sweden, Nathan Soderblom. And particularly the ravages of the First World War were not only politically, but also religiously, societies were incredibly divided. You can imagine Germans and Swedes and French and British, and you know, throughout Europe there were these major, major divisions and the heartbreak and devastation after the war. And Bishop Soderholm, you know, had Soderblom had this idea that the gospel of Christ calls us to come together. John 17, verse 21 says, we pray, Father, that all of them may be one, Father, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, which says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So he was really wanting to try and bring together church leaders from all over the world to think, what might it look like if the church really took seriously being united in the gospel? Now, Brad, two important things about this. I know some people feel a little bit sensitive when there are these kinds of talks about absolute unity. And I think the one thing that we need to recognize is that unity doesn't mean sameness. In fact, our very diversity, the difference of who we are, is what makes us such a rich and blessed body of Christ. You know, some of us are ears and some of us are toes and some of us are knees and some are hands and some are heads. You know, it's that diversity that makes us rich, but we do need one another. So the bishop said this one thing, which I found quite interesting. This was the sort of motto of the conference: doctrine divides, but service unites. Now, it wasn't that they were saying doctrine doesn't matter, but he was saying, let's not begin with our debates around what we believe and others believe in terms of doctrinal purity. Let's begin with the one thing that we can all agree upon, and that is that Jesus loves the world.
Amen.
And that we can be part of that work today. So this week, there were people from all over the world gathered here thinking again what it means in the world in which we live today, which remains so fractured and broken, for us as Christians to be united in love, united in service, to serve the world. So, Brad, I've been deeply challenged by that. And, you know, I mean, you know, 1925, 2025, these are just dates. But once again, I'm reminded that we need unity. And I think it begins in our streets. It begins in our communities, and from there it can go into the rest of the world. And I've been challenged, and maybe one or two of our listeners also challenged and invited to say, what might the Spirit of Christ be inviting us to do to overcome those dividing walls with the sisters and brothers who are worshiping just across the road,
yes,
just around the corner? that we could do together to make it visible to the world so that they may believe that we are one.
I like that. In what you've just said, Dion, I can't help but think that so often we rather choose being right as more important than being in unity. And that's when you were talking about those doctrinal challenges, which often challenge unity. And I wonder why that is. We'd rather want to be right than be in unity when we should really be putting unity in the church as such a massive priority. Why do we feel the need to be right, even before being in unity?
Well, Brad, I mean, I could give two. I think there are many better answers than this, but two answers. I think often about my marriage to Megan. Sometimes you're just also convinced of the fact that this is the right thing to do, and you want to defend that to the last moment. But then you realize, okay, I've won the argument, but I'm celebrating by sleeping on the couch. So, true love says, let's make some concessions on secondary issues, obviously, and let's work together in love. But Brad, I think just to say, one of the things we have realized, particularly as theologians, is that the Reformation really moved our Christian faith from a kind of mystical lived experience into our heads, and we needed that. The reformers were saying that the church had lost its way and it was teaching and practicing things that were wrong. But I think sometimes we overemphasize that. We lean too much in that direction and we make it all about the head and we forget about the hands and the heart.
Sometimes we see somebody on the side of the road that says they're hungry, and instead of meeting that need, we try and justify it's not a good idea. The person's going to become dependent. What are they going to do with the money? And then we spend so much time in our heads, we never actually reach out and do something like just care for somebody, even if it's just a word, a conversation where people so often just, have to deal with rejection. I think sometimes we get stuck in our heads so often. Sometimes perhaps just trying to justify not doing something instead of trying to convince ourselves that doing the right thing is the right thing to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Brad. And I have the sense that Bill Hybels always used to say, some of the greatest changes in the church came simply by loving enough to walk across the room. Just to say, I'm going to head across and meet this relatively friendly looking stranger and say to them, I think we've got something in common, our love for Jesus. What can we do to make this world a better place?
Yeah, and if we're open to learning, we could find we gain a whole lot more than what we feel we could give somebody else. But we need to be open for that possibility. Dion, thanks so much. We love the fact that you make time for us, that you share your life with us, and that we get to enjoy and understand what it is that you get up to. You certainly are an agent of change out there on the other side of the world. Thanks for your time. Be blessed. When do you return home to Amsterdam?
So I'm actually on my way back now and have to teach this afternoon. So flying in and we'll drag my luggage to the class.
Oh, doesn't even get a chance to have a nap. We'll catch up with you next week. Thanks, Dion.
Thanks, my friend. Bless you. Bye then.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.